ओम वसुदेव सुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनंदनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवम्।
इन अवर लास्ट क्लास वी हैड डिस्कस्ड द लॉर्ड कैटेगरिकली टेलिंग दैट द सीक्रेट ऑफ कर्म इज एक्सट्रीमली डिफिकल्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड एंड देयर आर थ्री टाइप्स ऑफ द मैनिफेस्टेशंस ऑफ action, right action, wrong action and inaction. And it is so difficult to understand, even wise people get confused about this. Who is a wise person? He who knows that there are three types of actions. Action, right action, wrong action and inaction. In this world, every action bears both good as well as bad. That is also part of the knowledge we must understand. There is no action which will give absolutely right result, and there is no action which will not do some good in some way to some persons, and there is also something called an inaction. And then the Lord, to explain this further, had uttered a most difficult verse for us to understand. Karmani akarma यह पश्येत अकर्मणि च कर्मयः स बुद्धिमान मनुष्येषु संयुक्तः कृत्स्न कर्मकृत। ही सेज ही हु रिकग्नाइजेस इनएक्शन इन एक्शन एंड एक्शन इन इनएक्शन ही इज द वाइजेस्ट अमंग पीपल। ही इज ए ट्रू योगी एंड ही इज ए ट्रू परफॉर्मर ऑफ एवरी एक्शन इन दिस वर्ल्ड। दिस इज वन ऑफ द मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल स्पिरिचुअल ट्रूथ the Lord is trying to convey to us. This was where we stopped in our last class. I would like to expound this so that we can all understand it in a proper way. Let us start with an example. In this world, there are certain things with life and there are things without life. Chit and achit. Prani and aprani. Mountains, rivers, the earth and a piece of wood, etc., etc., we consider them without life. Nobody says they are doing some action. Even though conventionally we use these words, a car is moving, a man is cooking food, a car is moving. Grammatically, both these words convey as though the car purposefully, with intention, is moving. A man purposefully, intentionally, he deliberates, he desires, he prepares, and he does this act called cooking, and he reaps the reward. Even though we use the word that a train is traveling, an aeroplane is moving at mind-boggling speed, and a car is moving, and yet we know clearly that the car, the aeroplane, the train, etc. are inert things, and being inert, they don't do anything really. All action is controlled, prompted, and done by an intelligent agent, the owner of the car, the traveler in the car or aeroplane, etc., etc. Now, the first thing, mistake, so to say, we commit is, when we see a person moving his hands and legs, he is deliberately doing some action, obviously there must be some purpose, and if we think there is no purpose, we call him a madcap. But when we look at a carpet, at a table, are they doing any actions? No, they just are. Modern science conclusively proved that every object in this world, which includes with life, without life, body, mind, and what we call carpet, table, a floor, a book, an almirah, everything is imbued with tremendous activity. In fact, there is no object which can stay inactive, even for a millisecond. Of course, when we look through ordinary eyes, a table looks as though it is lying there. What is it doing? nothing. But when a scientist, physicist, looks at the same object with a powerful electronic microscope, he sees every single atom, that is the constituent element of this object, is moving at mind-boggling speed. How do we know? Because let us take another example. Here is a table. How old is it? 100 years old. When it was first made, what do you call it? New table. Now what do you call it? Old table. So from newness it has become old. A change has taken place. And any change must take place only in time, space and because of some causation. But there is no intelligent, seemingly intelligent cause which is bringing about. But still, technically speaking, we can't call that they are not doing something. They are doing. What is it? They are undergoing a change. Whether we are conscious human beings or what we call living creatures or non-living thing, there is not a single object in this world which is technically called inactive. It is all active. Now, why am I giving this example? To make us understand this important concept that he who is a wise person, very wise person in fact, and in reality he is a person, he sees nothing but God. Such a person, he sees that there are two things. Some things seem to be inactive, but they are tremendously active. Something which seems to be inactive, they are also active. There are some things which are inactive, they are active. Active, but completely inactive. Looks confusing statement, but let me try to explain it properly. Suppose you see two persons. One person is doing something, jumping up and down. Another person is just lying down and sleeping. Our normal reaction to this situation is one person is active, another person is not active. Just now, as I mentioned, even sleeping is a tremendous activity. In fact, we have to practice this sleeping for a long time before we are able to fall asleep in the proper way. Sometimes you notice when sleep is not coming, you work very hard to get sleep and it becomes counterproductive. To let go everything, to be totally relaxed, that is greatest jobs on this earth. It requires tremendous amount of skill. But let us come back to our subject. A wise person is one and an unwise person is another. What does an unwise person do? He divides things into seemingly active and seemingly inactive. Why do I use that word seeming? Because if he knows the truth, he knows that there are certain things which will not do any activity and there is a part and that does every act. Let us explore this subject. Here is a spiritual person. When he looks at any object in this world, he sees two things. Let us say he looks at a human being. A human being has got three parts. That's why every human personality is called trichotomous. Three parts are there. Body, mind and chaitanya are what we call chit, the soul, atman, which is pure consciousness. Without consciousness, body, mind will not be, do anything, they don't even exist. But with the consciousness, they seem to be think we are conscious, even though they are unconscious, they are separate. When a wise person looks at anything in this world, he clearly perceives two things, the pure consciousness, which doesn't do anything, which need not do anything, and that is called Atman, and everything else means body, mind, which is called Anatman or non-self, and non-self cannot obviously do anything because it has neither prana nor anything else. So here is the secret. An unwise person divides all beings into two, active and inactive. In his mind, when there is a visible activity, he labels that person as active person. When a visible inactivity, for example, if a person is sitting or lying down or sleeping, that person is inactive. But that is the view, understanding, wrong understanding of an unwise person. A wise person is one who sees that every living creature is a combination of Atman, pure consciousness, plus Anatman, which is body and mind. And it is the body-mind in the presence of the consciousness, which is ever active, but the consciousness itself doesn't do any activity. This is the simplest way of understanding, he who sees at any person, for example, and says there are two separate elements in this personality, the Atman and the non-Atman. Atman plus body and mind. Body and mind are the things which are doing something, and the Atman is something which doesn't do anything. And such a person identifies himself clearly with the Atman, and he says, I do not do anything, and yet people see me doing things. That means they mistake my body and mind acting as if it is my acting, etc. Such a person who could separate clearly the Atman and the Anatman when they are inextricably mixed up and identifies himself with the Atman, the pure consciousness, and thereby he knows I am free. Whereas the other person, he goes on roaming in this world of activity. Samsara, transmigration, is another name for activity. Let us tackle this from another standpoint. Whenever we find somebody active, that activity automatically means that that person is not happy. He has a desire to be happy. He feels that unless he achieves something, he will not be happy. And through some activity, if he achieves something, then his happiness will become complete, at least for the time being. And so he strives to complete, fulfill. Every activity invariably is preceded by a desire. And activity is supposedly to complete that limitedness, that remove the desire by fulfilling that desire. Then he feels, I am a happy person. But there is a problem with this attitude, that the moment one desire is completed, a million other desires spring up first, and the same desire also will come up again. There is no end. Why does it happen? Because the person obviously is identifying himself with the limited, and with the instrumentality of the limited, it is impossible to attain unlimitedness. Unlimitedness is the very nature of the Atman, and a wise person completely identifies himself that I am the Atman, therefore I am paripurna, complete in myself, I am infinite, I am perfect, I am eternal, and so I don't have any desire. I am Sat, Chit, Ananda, I am of the nature of bliss. When a person realizes that, naturally there will be no lack. When there is no lack, there is no desire. When there is no desire, there is any activity. That is the meaning. Such a person is as if he had completed every activity in this world. That means he has fulfilled, attained the end result of every activity. That means he has become Purna Kamaha. There is no more desire. He doesn't feel, I am acquiring happiness. He feels, I am happiness. When a person feels, I am happiness, there are no degrees in it. When a person knows, I have happiness, there are infinite degrees. But when a person says, I am happiness, there are no degrees. It is 100% full. And that is the realization the Lord is pointing out, the goal of every creature. The goal of evolution from the lowest to the highest is to know that I am that paripurna, swarupa, purna, bodha, nitya, shuddha, buddha, mukta, svabhava. I am the self. I am the infinite. I am the eternal. I am the embodiment of bliss. Therefore, I don't have any desires. I don't need to do anything. And I want to remain forever in this state. This is called the state of realization. That is the goal which is called moksha or liberation. Unknowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously, willingly or unwillingly, we are all striving to reach that particular state. This is the goal which the Lord is telling. He who recognizes inaction, that means when this person looks at body, mind, even when he is doing it, he says inside this being, there is the Atman, which has nothing to do with any action. And he sees action in inaction. Whenever he sees at any ignorant person, and an ignorant person is he who thinks, I am not the Atman, but I am the body-mind, and he will remain imperfect, and never attain perfection through body-mind, but only when he recognizes, realizes, I am the Self, he becomes perfect. Such a person who understands this truth and strives to attain to this state of fullness, he is called a yogi, and when he reaches the goal, he becomes the true performer of all actions, as if he has performed infinite activities and as if he had attained infinity. As if because there is no attainment. He recognizes, I thought I was not the Self. In fact, I was the Self all the time. Now, through all these activities, I know that I am not the body-mind, I am the Self. In fact, the body-mind are also nothing but manifestations of the same Self. I hope the point is clear. What is spiritual life? To separate body-mind from the Self, more and more strive to identify ourselves with the Self, and less become detached from the body-mind. All discrimination, all sorts of what we call renunciation, mind control, body control, any type of spiritual practice is only for this purpose, to feel that I am the Atman, I am the Self. That is the goal. And if we wish to attain to that goal, then we have to do certain things which will gradually help us progress towards that realization, I am the Self. That is what is being described in the next few verses. Yasya sarve samarambhaha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagdha karmanam tam ahu panditam budaha. He whose undertakings are all devoid of desires and purposes and whose actions have been burnt by the fire of knowledge, him the wise people call a sage. A beautiful definition of who is a pandita. In normal Sanskrit language, a pandita is one who has lot of bookish knowledge. But here, Bhagavan Krishna uses this word pandita quite a few times in the Bhagavad Gita. He who sees the Atman everywhere and who lives a spiritual life, by proxy, he is also called a pandita or a wise person. Pandita is a wise person. There are many pandits who are not wise persons. And there are many wise persons who are not bookishly learned. Sri Ramakrishna himself has not read many books. But though he says that I have not read, but I have heard and I remember all those books. Swami Adbhutananda. And in India, you get number of many hundreds of people, saints, who are not at all learned, ordinary people, but with a tremendous faith in God, Shraddha, and through the practice of reliance upon the repetition of God's name, with tremendous faith in the Guru also, hundreds and thousands of them have attained to the same goal, which a learned pandit, but sincere spiritual seeker also had attained. So the Lord is telling, we have to start our spiritual practices, whatever we do, repetition of God's name, by taking initiation from a guru, study of the scriptures, regular attendance in the temples, or holy company, satsangas, or going on pilgrimages. They themselves are not the ultimate goals, but they must bring about a change in our personality. This is what being said. Whenever such a spiritual aspirant, whatever undertakings he takes, first of all, he doesn't undertake with a selfish motive, I want to do this. If at all he does it, because it is his duty to do it. He understands this is my duty and so I have to do it. Secondly, kama sankalpa varjita. I have no desire of my own. Maybe we should never mistake that even spiritual aspirants, they don't need any food, they don't need to breathe, they don't need to do certain activities. Even their bodies require certain activities. But they do only, this is a fulfillment, I have to keep my body in healthy condition, so I have to eat what is necessary, that too what is pure, that too what is conducive to good health, that too after offering to God, all those rules, regulations, he does it. But he doesn't have any worldly desires, but he has one desire. What is that desire? I want to realize God. I want to reach the lotus feet of God. And whatever activities he undertakes, his whole life is transformed into a spiritual practice with the sole aim of reaching the lotus feet of God. Such people are called Kama Sankalpa Varjita. There, all their desires, etc., they do not have any selfish desires. But if we see some desires, they are first of all unselfish, and secondly, they are nothing but pure spiritual desires, and whose actions have been burned by the fire of knowledge. Whatever such great people do, whether they eat, they breathe, they walk, they perform any action, they have this beautiful knowledge. What is that knowledge? My body belongs to God. My mind also belongs to God. The desire to use this body also has been given by God. And this capacity to understand in the right way and perform action in the right way, that right understanding has also been given to me by God. So body belongs to God, mind belongs to God, desire belongs to God, performance belongs to God. I am just an instrument in the hands of the Divine Mother. This is called Jnana Agni Dagdha Karmana. That type of knowledge, even through that bhakti, millions of people have realized God. So it says, whose actions have been burnt. What does it mean? It means those actions, they do not bear any worldly result. Every action, whether we do it spiritually or worldly wise, it must bear its result. But in the case of a worldly person, it bears worldly results. And worldly results are like powerful seeds which will produce more trees with more fruits, and a person goes on increasing his worldliness, strengthening the worldly bondage. In the case of a wise person, every activity yields only one result. Whether he eats, he sleeps, he worships, he breathes, whatever he does, every action bears only one fruit. What is that fruit? His devotion to God increases, his faith in God increases, his unselfishness goes on increasing, and his wisdom goes on increasing, and he becomes more and more happy from day to day more. He grows, in other words, in sat, in chit, and in ananda. When we see the external manifestations, a person is becoming good person, pure person, unselfish person, and a wise person, and a happier person day by day, we have to call such a person Pandita. And wise people, Buddha, call him, you are a true Pandita. Means you are a true human being. These are some of the prompts. Whatever we do, we must do it with the idea, my body belongs to God, mind belongs to God, my desire belongs to God, any capacity that I can perform this action also belongs to God. Therefore, naturally, the result also must belong to God. But one desire, I desire for myself. I want to become a better and better and still better devotee of God. Better yogi, and I want to be moving, progressing nearer to my own true self. That is called Atmajnana. Then he gives some more hints. Let us continue. The Lord is giving some more hints, some more spiritual characteristics we have to develop in order to progress towards our goal, which is to feel that I am the Atman. Tyatva karma phala sangam nitya triptaha nirashrayaha karmani abhipravruttopi naiva kinchit karoti saha. Four characteristics are being elaborated here. Tyatva karma phala sangam. Such a pandita, wise person, who wants to identify himself with the Atman, first of all, he should give up the expectation, attachment towards all karma phala. Naturally, the doubt that comes is that we all perform any action expecting some results. The results will come. This is a point, please note down. Every action must yield its result sooner or later. But when we are attached, our minds become very clouded. We become restless. Why am I not getting this result? I expect it to come at this time, in this form, and that is not going to happen. Anyway, the result will come, whether a person is spiritual or worldly person. But specifically, the Lord is telling to cultivate this quality. Do not become a slave to the karma phala. Phala will come. But as I mentioned earlier, every spiritual devotee wants only one phala, that is, I want only God. I am sitting, I want God. I am breathing, pranayama I am doing, I want God. I am worshipping, I want God. Perhaps I am discharging my duty as a soldier, I am going to kill as many people as possible. The only result I want is, I want to move nearer to God, nearer to my own nature. This quality of not being a slave and not being agitated, thinking about the results of my actions, that is called giving up attachment to the results of the actions. But at the same time, the Lord expects every spiritual person to perform the right action in the right spirit with complete focus of the mind, because I am not expecting, I will do haphazardly, and that's not going to help anybody. It only brings more unhappiness, more suffering. It is really counterproductive. So this is the first thing. I, O Lord, will perform to the best of my ability with devotion, shraddha, without attachment, but I leave what you want to give me into your hands. It is entirely up to you. As a result, his mind becomes completely content. Nitya triptaha. Good result, happy. Because this is what my divine mother lovingly has given. I am a child, and every mother gives to the child only what she knows to be the best. I know it, and I have complete faith in it. I do what I need to do, but I leave the result in the hands of the divine mother. As a result, such a spiritual aspirant is not temporarily happy, not happy only at the time of meditation, but all the time he is bubbling with joy, nitya triptaha, completely content, nirashrayaha. Such a person, if he doesn't get what should come, he doesn't depend upon anybody, he doesn't blame anybody. Oh, I depended upon God, I didn't get the result, maybe I committed a mistake, I should depend upon somebody. No, whatever you do, I will depend totally upon my divine mother. Sri Ramakrishna illustrates this with a beautiful parable called the Villa of Rama. There was a weaver, we all know the story. The point we have to understand here is, even if the weaver has been kept in the jail because he had been caught red-handed, first of all, he was never agitated, he was caught, he was never agitated, he was put in the jail, he was not agitated when he was brought in front of the magistrate, and he would not have been agitated if the magistrate happens to say, your whole life I am going to put you in jail, he would say, this is Rama's will, and Rama's will gives me the greatest joy. Oh, there is a funny saying of Mahatma Gandhi. Whenever British government used to put him in jail, he used to say, now is the wonderful thing, I can get more sleep, I can think deeply, I can meditate more on God, I can write my books. This is the best opportunity, undisturbed. And this government is guarding me. It is providing me first-class facilities. And this is heaven for me. He used to take in that light. A devotee says, O Mother, whatever is happening by thy will. Shakali tomari icha. So, he doesn't depend upon anybody. Karmani avipravruttopi. Even when he is made to perform activities day and night, even with very little time. For by chance, if he is made to work 24 hours a day practically, he never feels for a single second, I am performing the action. What does he do? That Prakriti is doing its own activities. Guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajyate. The gunas belong to Prakriti, and Prakriti, through these gunas called sattva, rajas, tamas, is doing its own activity. I have nothing to do with it, because I am a child of God, I am a part of pure consciousness, I am pure consciousness, I am the Amritasya Putra, I am the child of the immortal bliss, I don't need to do anything, because I am already an Amrita Putra. These are the four characteristics, that is, he will not have attachment to any activity, and he is ever content whatever happens, and he doesn't abandon God. He doesn't for even single millisecond depend upon anything else excepting total dependence upon God, and whatever he is doing, he never has for a single second the feeling, I am the doer, and without me the whole world will come to an end. He says, I'm just instrument, O Lord, whatever you want to do with this instrument, you just do it. Another hint also is giving, Nirashihi yatachittatma tyakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvan na apnoti kilbisham. Without expectation, with the mind and self controlled, having abandoned all possessions, doing mere bodily action, such a spiritual aspirant incurs no sin. One of the doubts that may come, that first of all, he is nirashi. He doesn't have false hopes and expectation. If at all he has any expectation, there is only one. How to obtain God and nothing else. If he is a jnani, how to have self-knowledge. If he is a bhakta, how can I improve my devotion towards God? Yatachitatma. Continuously, without giving up hope, even if he doesn't get result in billions of years, he will not stop for a single second. He will not do it like a machine. He will completely, with the greatest joy, he will be performing his activities. That is the meaning of yata chitta atma. Continuously engaged, but at the same time, with perfectly controlled mind and buddhi decision. Say Ramakrishna again illustrates this with a beautiful parable. There were two yogis. They were meditating upon God for many years. One day sage Narada happened to pass by and they came to know he was visiting Lord Narayana. They asked him, please put this question to God and bring back the answers. And Narada came back and the first sage sitting under the tree asked, so how long should I have to take God's name? Narada said, next birth God will give his darshana to you. Hearing this, the man became very despondent, started weeping. Oh Lord, already so many years I have passed. The spiritual life is the most painful duty I have ever undertaken in my life. There is neither joy nor hope, and so many years I have wasted, and still one more life I have to. Narada passed on to the second man, and that happened to be a tamarind tree whose leaves are extremely small, billions of leaves. Then Narada gave the answer. The Lord asked me to convey to you that you will have to be born as many times as there are leaves on this tree. And immediately the man started, jumped up with joy and dancing. And what? God is going to appear to me so soon. For him, every life is a life of joy. And when life is joy, who doesn't want to be reborn? Only a fellow who is suffering from lots of unhappiness, such a person doesn't wish to be born, he wishes to die. But a person who is moving from lower joy to higher joy, he wants, I want to enjoy much more. In fact, let God come a little bit later. I want to enjoy many things more in this world. Through this parable, what is Sri Ramakrishna telling? A true devotee, even though he will never give up hope, and he will be controlling, doing every second. Even if he has to be reborn a billion, billion, billion times, he will be performing his spiritual practices with the greatest joy in this world. That is what is mentioned here. Tyakta sarva parigraha. He doesn't have any possessions. The only possession, and he is pretty sure he has, what is that? Only God. I have God, I don't need anything else. Then a doubt will come that there may be people like that. They may be performing actions. But anyway, they have a body. And while walking, some insects will die. While eating, some insects may go inside. For example, when I am taking a mango, there may be a nice worm born inside the mango, grew up with mango pulp, became part of the mango pulp, and in my eagerness when I have swallowed it, I might have killed that poor creature, will I not incur any sin? The answer, categorical answer is that even though he does bodily action, he incurs no sin at all. And we also understand, if that body-mind complex does something good, he also doesn't get any punya. Why? Because just as I don't get any papa or punya if you do something, good or bad, so also this person, he never considers, I am the body, I am the mind, I am performing certain actions, and I take responsibility. He says, no, I am just an instrument in the hands of God. That is what Krishna mentions ultimately. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Nimittamatram bhava savyasachin. Just be an instrument to Arjuna. Because the truth is, you don't belong to yourself. You do not exist in the sense you are the body mind. Only I exist. Whatever activities are going on, I only do it. But I also don't consider myself as a doer. So it is all a huge divine leela. So the categorical answer is, such a person neither incurs a sin nor also accumulates any punya. If anything happens, it all belongs to God. Why? Because he has written all his property. I have donated it to you. Now do whatever you like with it, this body, this mind. And if anything belongs to this body, mind, the whole thing belongs only to you. This is the categorical answer. Then the point comes, though a self-realized man renounces all actions, he has of necessity to maintain his body. And such a body does certain activities. When such activities come, when are done, will he reap the consequences? The answer has been given. No. All right. Such a person doesn't incur sin. But how does he lead his life? So the Lord is giving us some more hints. And these are hints describing a spiritually advancing aspirant, so that those who are aspiring to become spiritual and want to progress in spiritual life must first listen about these characteristics, think deeply about these characteristics, accept them as gospel truth, and try to practice little by little, slowly, slowly, so that one day he will also know, I am the Atman, there is no other way. So the Lord is giving a hint. Yadrucha lava santushto dvandvatito vimatsaraha samaha siddhava siddhavcha kritva api na nibadhyate. As we mentioned earlier, discussed earlier, such a person thinks he is the instrument, but at the same time, he refuses to become a careless instrument. He becomes the, I am the instrument of God. If I do something wrong, then the bad name will come to God. Therefore, I must behave in such a way that only people think well of my divine Lord. So he says, Yadrucha labha santushto. Having performed all his duties with the utmost sincerity, devotion, efficiency, concentration, and intelligence, and he is not attached to the result, but some result will come. What would be his take up on that? Yadrucha labha santushta. Whatever comes, he is very happy with that. Oh Lord, whatever you have given, that is absolutely fine to me. Even at the risk of repeating, I have to give you a beautiful example. One Swami Brahmanandaji was performing austerities in North India, and it was winter season. One day he was sitting under a tree, and it was quite chilly or maybe cold, but he was sitting there without any warm clothing. Suddenly a rich merchant happened to pass by in a cart, and he saw the condition of this sadhu. He did not know who he was, so he got down, brought a very beautiful warm blanket, put it in front of Swami Brahmananda, made pranams silently, took leave and went away. After a few minutes, another devotee came, bowed down to Swami Brahmananda and accepted the prasada, took away that blanket and went away. Swami Brahmananda was witnessing, oh Lord, you gave me in the form of the merchant, you took away in the form of another devotee. There was absolutely no regret. But what happens in our case, even if somebody gives me an old pencil, and after he gives it to me and I consider it as my own, if somebody happens to take it away, immediately we are prepared to cut off his head, if it is possible, without getting caught by the police, etc. Yadrucha labha santushto, whatever comes. When Sri Ramakrishna incurred this cancer disease, then he was asked, then you know what his typical reply? When I was young, all the facilities that were given were also given by the Divine Mother. Now who gave me this cancer? It is her will only. I have no right to complain about this. Otherwise I should have complained against that also. Edrucha lava santushto dvandva atitaha is beyond the affectations of the dvandva, is beyond the dualities. What does it mean to be beyond the dualities? It doesn't mean cold will not trouble him, heat will not trouble him, happiness will not trouble him, unhappiness will not trouble him. Like anybody else, he also goes through all the pairs of sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy, sometimes hardship, sometimes easyship, whatever it is. But his mental take-up is, whatever comes, it is the prasada of the Divine Lord. I am happy, ever content with that. Vimatsaraha. He doesn't entertain, cherish any ill feeling towards anybody. You gave me unhappiness, etc. Nor does he develop a sense of, oh, I am so grateful. Because of you, I got these comforts, etc. Sama, siddha, siddha. He does his best. But whether the outcome is successful or unsuccessful, his mind remains absolutely in the same condition. Such a person, he is not bound by karma. And that means he is not bound by karma phala. And therefore, that very moment, he is on his way to liberation. Again, I remember a beautiful incident in the life of Ramana Maharshi. One day he was sitting in his hut. A few devotees were also there. At night, some robbers entered and showing a stick, ordered all the people to go outside the hut and they bundled whatever little they could get, some utensils, etc. And Ramana Maharshi, he was quite old. He was standing outside by the roadway. One of the robbers, not content with what he was taking, and nobody had put any objection or obstructed them, he gave a blow to Ramana Maharshi and walked off. The devotees were terribly offended. Okay, they have taken, that is okay. But why should they give a blow to our revered guru? This is called Ahankar Abhimana. If that fellow has given me a blow, it was all right. But my guru? No. If somebody criticizes my guru, that is the worst human being in the whole world. And if somebody praises my guru, he is the greatest man in this world. Even though the guru himself doesn't react that way, it is the common nature of the disciples to behave in this most worldly way, thinking they are highly devoted to their gurus. Nothing could be further from truth. Coming back to the story, then the devotees got offended and they all came inside, took their seats. Then they wanted to complain to the police about the person who gave a blow to Ramana Maharshi. You know what was the reply of Ramana Maharshi? He said, when you people bring fruits and sweets, I don't go run to the police complaining, you brought fruits and sweets. So when this person has given me a blow, equally I have no right. If I have to do that, in your case also I have to do that. In this person's case also, I have to do that. When I accept things happily, whatever you bring, I have to accept happily whatever the Lord ordains through this person. What is the logic? The logic is, you don't bring things to me yourself. It is the Lord who is prompting you to bring things to me. Similarly, when this person had an impulse to give me a blow, it is not he who, the Divine Lord inspired him, give this man a small blow in front of his disciples, and I have to accept it gladly as a prasada. And that is the condition of this spiritual aspiring. Then what happens? Gatasangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasaha yajnaya acharataha karma samagram praviliyate. Of one who is devoid of attachment, who is liberated, whose mind is established in knowledge, who acts for the sake of sacrifice, all his actions are dissolved. Let us understand, the person who has been practicing the characteristics we have discussed in today's class, such a person advances to such a state, no karma, no action will ever have the power to bind. Not only that, on the other hand, every action he does is pushing him towards the Divine Lord. So what happens? Gata Sangasya, all his attachments have been destroyed. Muktasya, he become completely freed from the idea, I am the body, I am the mind. The moment a person comes to know I am not the body mind. He, at the same moment he comes to know, I am the pure Atman, pure consciousness. This is called Jnana Avasthita Chetasa. Such a mind ever abides in that knowledge. Aham Brahmasmi. I am the divine. And whatever activity takes place through the instrumentality of that body mind, that is called Yajna. That is no more called a activity. What is the difference? An activity is that which binds us. What is Yajna? That same activity becomes a divine worship. And it helps us to break the bondage of this world. Khandana, Bhava, Bandhana. Every activity, it only takes us nearer to God. Samagram Praviliyati. Such a karma, it completely becomes destroyed. It is said in Vedanta, karma is of three types. Agami, Prarabdha, Sanchita. And all worldly bondage is because of this karma phala. Karma means karma phala, the result of activities. As I said, activities themselves do not bind us. But done properly, they can take us towards our goal, which is God realization. And we all suffer because we somehow or other, we become bound with the results of the activities. All the activities, whatever has been accumulated waiting for fructification, that gets destroyed. Whatever has been started in this life, that also becomes destroyed. Whatever he does it until the body falls, that karma phala also becomes totally destroyed. That means no karma will ever attach to him. By proxy, what it means is, he feels, I have nothing to do with the body, I have nothing to do with mind. Before I conclude, I want to add a little bit to it. This person, whatever he does, is doing only good. His very breath, pranarpana, jagatatarana, for the welfare of the whole world, jagatatarana. Whatever thoughts he does, it helps people. Whatever activities he does, that inspires other people. So he accumulates only punya. So it is said, if some people criticize him, then if he happens to do some papa, all the papa will go to him. And if somebody is serving such a person, and since he doesn't need the punya, all the punya will go to the persons who are serving him. But one point you need to understand is that this punya is not ending in giving them worldly happiness. It only ends in making them much more spiritual, advance them in spiritual life. His whole life becomes a yajna, or a sacrifice. As I mentioned earlier, the fourth chapter is the greatest chapter, explaining beautifully how to convert whole life into a divine sacrifice called yajna. And the Lord is going to talk about this different manifestation, some samples, 12 samples of how different activities can help us convert our life also into a spiritual worship. Worship of the Divine Lord, which we will discuss in our next class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. May Sri Ram Krishna, Holy Mother and Swamiji bless us all.